Cypress Development Corp is developing a world-class lithium resource in the heart of Clayton Valley, Nevada. The size of the resource makes the Clayton Valley project a premier asset with the potential to impact the future of lithium supply. Cypress Development Corp trades on the TSX Venture Exchange, symbol CYP, the OTCQB, symbol CYDVF, and on Frankfurt, symbol C1Z1. For more information, please visit our website, cypressdevelopmentcorp.com.
Welcome to the Goddard Report. Comments made on the Goddard Report and TalkDigitalNetwork.com are an expression of opinion only. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is John Rappaport. He's a well-known investigative reporter and the founder of NoMoreFakeNews.com. John, welcome to the Goddard Report.
Good to be here. Thank you.
John, you started NoMoreFakeNews.com long before fake news was a household catchphrase. Can you tell us about NoMoreFakeNews.com?
Yes, I started it in 2001, so it's 19 years now. I had sort of come out of the cave a little bit as a guy with a typewriter, portable typewriter, and I had been writing articles freelance for various publications, wasn't too happy with it, took a break, decided to try this newfangled thing called the internet, and thought of a few different names, ran them by people, and one day I just said off the top of my head in frustration, how about NoMoreFakeNews.com? Everybody said, that's it. I said, okay, let's go with it, because I had already been quite aware that the mainstream was doing lots and lots of fake news. So that stuck, and I jumped in, and I've been doing it ever since.
Was there anything in particular that told you that, hey, I covered that story, and that's not really what happened, but you saw that on TV or in the paper?
Yeah. Particularly in the medical arena. I was bumping up against that all the time. People were running with all sorts of ideas about viruses and germs even back then, and they were not going deep enough as far as I was concerned. For example, they were not looking at the diagnostic tests for these viruses and whether the tests were accurate or not, and whether or not the virus was often used as a cover story to obscure things that were going on in various parts of the world, corporate crimes, government crimes, that were making people sick, basically, such as in Africa. And the virus, I could see, was being deployed to great effect to say, don't worry about all that other stuff, whatever that might be. It's all the virus that's the only problem, and we have to do more research and spend more money. So those were some of the things that alerted me to that. And, of course, we could go back into my early adulthood, JFK assassination, especially RFK in 1968 at the Ambassador Hotel. The evidence was formidable that Sirhan Sirhan was not the assassin. And Special Unit Senator was set up inside the L.A. Police Department as the sole agency really investigating the assassination. And they covered up all sorts of evidence showing that, for example, more bullets were fired in the kitchen of the Ambassador Hotel than Sirhan Sirhan could have had in his gun. And the fatal shot came from behind Robert Kennedy, not in front where Sirhan was, and nevertheless, all of that was covered up. So, yeah, there were many stories that convinced me that fake news was alive and well.
For a little background, you covered the swine flu, SARS, and the Zika so-called epidemics. What did you learn?
I learned that, for one thing, they were duds in terms of how dangerous they really were. And, for example, and this is quite an interesting story, and the history matters, by the way, because I've been looking into epidemics for probably some 30 years, I would say, by now, and I see familiar patterns repeating over and over again. So in 2009, we had this thing called the swine flu pandemic, and there were all kinds of dire predictions about how many people were going to die out of the World Health Organization and the CDC. And in the summer of 2009, when the CDC was saying that the epidemic in America was at its height and there were tens of thousands of cases, a reporter at CBS News, Cheryl Atkison, discovered that secretly the CDC had stopped counting cases of swine flu. Now, their mandate is they must count cases and report them to the public every week. But secretly they had stopped, and she wanted to know why. And she investigated and discovered the reason, and it was because the overwhelming percentage of tissue samples sent from the most likely swine flu patients to labs for testing all over the country were coming back with no sign of swine flu or any other kind of flu. And this, as I say, at the moment when the CDC was claiming tens of thousands of cases in America. So she wrote the story for the CBS News website, and it was vetted, as you can imagine, quite carefully, because it ran against the grain of the reporting at the time. And everybody said, yes, let's go with it. And so it was published on the CBS News website. The next step would have been to actually go on CBS Evening News television, both the national news program and affiliate television news reports all over the country. And at that point, all of a sudden, out of nowhere, CBS said no. They shut that down. They shut down any further investigation into the swine flu epidemic. And I've interviewed Cheryl about this, and what I'm telling you now is what she told me. So 3 weeks or so after CBS shut down the whole investigation, I discovered some years later an article appeared in WebMD. I was going back in history and looking for other reports and so forth. And I discovered that the CDC estimated in retrospect that at the height of the swine flu epidemic in America, there were, get this, 22 million cases of swine flu in America. This is after Cheryl reported that overwhelmingly no sign of swine flu or any other kind of flu in the U.S. So that's a bit of history that shows that even with the most rabid promotion of dire danger and so forth, when you drill down far enough, you can find it's not the case at all. Something completely different is going on. Lying and crimes, official crimes. I could go into other epidemics and tell similar stories. SARS is another good example. But you get the gist.
We heard the swine flu vaccine caused more medical problems than the swine flu itself. What have you heard?
Yes, I've heard that. I don't know the exact numbers, but there were some major health problems. I'm talking serious from the swine flu vaccine. And obviously that's something else to keep an eye on, because we have a rush right now to develop vaccines against the so-called coronavirus. And there are new technologies in the pipeline. I mean new vaccine technologies that have never been certified as safe and effective for public use. It isn't just a new vaccine, it's a new type of vaccine. And these vaccines have major problems forecast if the new technologies are brought into manufacturing and into public use.
Right. Now, with the swine flu vaccine in 2009, I got seriously sick afterwards, and we found out the Quebec manufacturer had cranked out tainted vaccine, and that's what made you sick. So it wasn't the flu, and it was nasty. So that was one of the problems, I guess, if you have a hastily produced vaccine. Do they have enough time to actually test it to make sure it's going to be safe?
Yes. There is no animal testing now, for example, on the whatever the vaccines are that are going into clinical trials. There's a trial that just started, a human trial. And there will be and is a rush to bring it on. And then, of course, in the manufacturing, there are more problems. So there are ample opportunities all the way up in the line, down the line for disastrous mistakes.
How does the coronavirus, Chinese flu, Wuhan flu, COVID-19, whatever you want to call it, compare with the swine flu, SARS, and Zika?
Well, that's a matter, I would say, of some controversy, although the public is not aware that there is any controversy. I mean, the story across the board, which is being told to great effect, is that this is a virus that apparently has crossed over into humans from animals. Nobody is completely sure of that, that it's highly dangerous, very transmissible, and that it causes widespread illness and death. That's the official story. And by the way, on that basis, we're looking at a planetary lockdown of economies and massive torpedoing of people's abilities to make a living. The story, the economic part of this, people are aware, of course, of what's going on, but the media is not picking up on it to the degree of featuring it as a major piece, because they're all out front talking case numbers and press conferences about the virus and it's spreading and expanding and we have to take drastic action and social distancing and so forth and workers stay at home and all of the precautions and containment measures. But, you know, the economic destruction is page one high-level news. So on the basis of this purported virus, that's what's happening to the world, which really is unprecedented. As far as the science goes, this is the major place that I plug in. And so, for example, I look at the diagnostic test. I'm just writing yet one more article about that, which is called the PCR, polymerase chain reaction. This is the widespread diagnostic test all over the world, wherever it's available, with the exception of China, which is a whole different story. But the test takes a tiny, tiny fragment of a sample from a patient, which is purported to contain virus particles, blows it up like an enlarged photograph many, 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 many times so that it could theoretically be studied and understood. There are many problems with the test in terms of making sure it's accurate and so on. But the result would be, yes, you have the virus in your body. However, although the experts will deny this, the test is not capable of saying how much of the coronavirus is in the person's body actively replicating. And that's a key. Because in order to say that a virus is causing illness, I mean real disease, in the real world, in a person, not in the lab, not in computers and so forth, you have to establish that there are millions and millions and millions of a virus actively replicating in a human body. And the PCR test is incapable of doing that. That test, in other words, for the purpose of saying how much virus is in the body, has never been vetted correctly to prove that it can really do what it says it can do. Therefore, all the diagnoses based on that test are highly dubious and in question. And I have presented as much evidence as I can possibly gather over the years about that test, presented it, talked to experts that I trust, and that's my conclusion. Therefore, the amount of hype and noise surrounding this whole idea of a pandemic that is taking over the world is unproven. Now, of course, people pepper me with questions, well, what about this? What about what's happening in Italy? What about the overflowing ICU wards? And what about Wuhan and all of the above? I've answered all of these questions, and there are many, to show that you don't need a virus to account for what's happening around the world, excuse me, in other countries. You don't need to say it's all the virus. there are other factors at work. So for me, the whole thing is a kind of projection of a mass image for the public about what is happening here in the world to justify forcing a quite unprecedented economic collapse.
We'll have more with John Rappaport right after this.
Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
Avon Resources Limited is a gold exploration company with significant projects in British Columbia and the Yukon. Trading on the TSX Venture Exchange, symbol ABN, and the OTCQB, symbol ABNAF. Surrounded by world-class gold deposits and mines, Avon's 23,000 hectares Forest Kerr Gold Project is located in the heart of the Golden Triangle in northwestern BC. For more information, visit us at avonresources.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with John Rappaport. John, where does this coronavirus fit in the history of pandemics?
Well, I wouldn't say that it fits in any radically different way at all. And I would give an example. Let's go to Wuhan, where supposedly this all started. So there were a few cases of pneumonia that showed up at a hospital in Wuhan, according to the story, that puzzled the doctors. For some reason that remains obscure. Because, you see, in China, study estimates show roughly that about 300,000 people a year die of pneumonia in China, which means that many, many, many more people actually have pneumonia in China. It's just rampant. So that is a curious beginning to the story. Essentially, what that means is doctors, labs, whoever in China could conceivably pick out any pneumonia cases from any cause. We could be talking about bacterial pneumonia, pneumonia from other viruses, from fungi, from many sources, and just simply say this is new and this is caused by a virus that has never been seen before. We also know that in Wuhan, which is an economic powerhouse of 11 million people with a gross national product of somewhere around $220 billion, there is an unprecedented mix of toxic elements in the air. I mean, serious mix, never before seen in history, of sort of early age and early industrial age pollutants and modern industrial pollutants, all of which are toxic. There were protests last summer in Wuhan and other Chinese cities about air quality. Now, people don't just do protests in China like they do them in America because of the government over there. You can get arrested, you can get beaten, you can get disappeared. All manner of horrible things can happen to you if you go out on the streets in any numbers and protest. But nevertheless, there were significant protests over the horrendous air quality in these cities. Now, it's obvious to anybody with common sense that pneumonia can also be caused by air pollution. You don't need a germ of any kind whatsoever. You just pump enough toxicity into people's lungs and you will get infection and you will get something that you could call pneumonia, or you could say closely resembles pneumonia or is an unusual pneumonia, but it's pneumonia. And then, however, interestingly enough and conveniently enough, it all suddenly gets shunted over into being called a virus, a new virus. And the protests go away, of course, because China immediately locks down 50 million people in three cities. And the Hong Kong protests get lockdowns, so the protests there also stop. Now, I bring up that origin of the whole thing to show virus used as cover story. Virus used to obscure, explain away things that are toxic and are happening that have nothing to do with virus. If we were to look at SARS, for example, 2003, you could trace that one back to China as well, another area of China. Again, we've never seen this coronavirus before. It's highly unusual, and it's going to take over the world. World Health Organization, again, doing propaganda, issued a travel advisory against flying into Toronto at one point, causing the city to lose maybe $2-3 billion in tourist income. But in that area of China where they said SARS began, it just so happened that there were lots of workers who were recycling electronic waste in very poorly put together facilities. They were taking apart devices and boards and so forth, being exposed to lead, acid, toxic fumes, etc., etc., etc. Significant business operation there, very toxic to the workers and employees. Story never really gets out in the press at all. Instead, we hear that in that area of the world, there is a new virus, and it overtakes the planet, except at the end of it, if you were to look up World Health Organization figures, you would see the death toll is listed as 800 people out of 7 billion. And yet, if you were to read revisionist medical literature about 2003 SARS, they would still be talking about it as a severe epidemic. And even doctors who worked on SARS will now look back on it and say it was very severe. Unbelievable. So the origin story of these epidemics is very important. I could give you chapter and verse on swine flu in 2009 in Mexico, giant commercial pig farm, let's say 900,000 pigs, horrendous pollution, chemical toxicity, workers getting sick, dying. All of a sudden in La Gloria, Mexico, that giant commercial facility has nothing to do with workers getting sick and dying. No. It's a virus. It's swine flu. It crossed over into humans, H1N1. Another cover story. So in Wuhan and in other places in China, in Mexico, we've seen it in Africa as well. There's a whole history of this virus cover story. Obscures corporate and government crimes that are making people sick. And public health agencies call it a viral epidemic. They hype it to the skies. But what's different about this one is that the hype is, of course, much greater. And the coordination of the public health agencies around the world and media, governments, has been welded into place much more firmly than ever before, so that when the trigger is pulled, so to speak, on the operation, lockdown here, lockdown there, and becomes a domino effect.
Is there any chance the Chinese government deliberately released a virus that would stop the riots and demonstrations in Wuhan, other Chinese cities, and especially Hong Kong?
You know, of course, I can't prove that they didn't. Kind of like saying, can you prove that a purple snake isn't manufacturing a radio on Mars right now? No, I can't prove it, but I think the likelihood is extremely low, because if we were to assume that this virus is real and very dangerous, it would also be unpredictable. And so if the Chinese released it with the idea of stamping out protests in Wuhan and Hong Kong and maybe even infecting other areas of the world, and you assume that it is highly dangerous, the blowback effect is completely unpredictable. And I'm not just talking about numbers of Chinese deaths all over the country, but political leaders, business leaders, army leaders, there would be no, it's not like a science fiction movie where, you know, there's a mad scientist somewhere who says, I have the antidote. It doesn't work that way. So to have done that would be, I think, a risk beyond what the Chinese would be willing to take. However, if you want to follow up on that line, and I would only propose this as a hypothesis, what the Chinese could easily do, and they are very practiced in the arts of covert operations, a little problem in Wuhan, a little outbreak of some kind, nothing special, pneumonia and so forth, but they say, look, this is unusual. Don't know what's happening here. Of course they know. Look at that. Look out the window. You know what's happening. You can't even see the next building over. Okay, let's see here. Here we go. Put in a call to the CDC and the World Health Organization. They already have people over there, scientists. We'd like you to take a look at something. We think we may have something here that you'd be interested in. Now, these CDC-type people are virus hunters. I could give you chapter and verse on what's called the Epidemic Intelligence Service of the CDC, which is sort of like the medical CIA. And these doctors and medical professionals are trained to the hilt to go out maybe 100 missions a year to, quote, outbreaks and determine what's going on. And they're trained to look for and find viruses. That's what they do. The Chinese know this. Oh, they bring in the CDC and World Health Organization. Have a look at this. We don't know, do you think it might be a virus? Knowing full well what the CDC and World Health Organization people are going to say, yeah, could be. Well, the Chinese, sorry if we've been recalcitrant here and a few weeks before we called you in, and we apologize, but if you think that this, could you help us do some more testing here, and let's see, and they do, and yeah, oh yes, this is something we've never seen before, my God, whatever. The Chinese say, well, again, we apologize. If there's anything to do we can help you with here, do you think that other national governments ought to be alerted? Oh, yes, indeed, they should be alerted, and we will do that. And the Chinese will humbly say, well, if there's anything we can do to help in any regard whatsoever, please call on us. Yes, we will. And at this point, it's sort of, you know, it's an above-average hunting expedition for the CDC, but they're very interested. And then 2 days later, bang, China locks down three cities, 50 million people. Here we go, folks. This is all we needed. This is the model. This is the example. Now we can talk. Now we can make something gigantic out of this. We have the machinery to swing into gear, say the CDC and the World Health Organization. Because China just locked down 50 million people, and all we have to do is say they're doing wonderful work over there, and we are complimenting them, and it's heroic, and, helping to contain this horrendously threatening virus and overtaking the world, et cetera, et cetera. And we just let these people run with it because they are going to run with it. And let's lock down 50 million more in China, and we're going to see lockdowns everywhere. So gradually, China starts to bring people back to work, and they've got these smart cities all built that are empty, into which they can put millions of people if they want to, which is going to have the Internet of Things and wall-to-wall 24-hour surveillance on everybody. Oh, we have to do this because you saw what happened with the virus. They can deal with all of this. But flash forward from the China lockdowns, I don't know, what is it now, 2.5, 3 months? The entire United States is locked down. Magic. How did that happen? So if you want to contemplate that possible scenario, that's the way I would say it has been played.
We'll have more with John Rappaport right after the break.
Engineer Gold Mines is focused on the exploration and development of the historic high-grade Engineer Gold Mine situated 32 kilometers southwest of Atland, British Columbia. Engineer Gold Mines is fully permitted for surface and underground exploration with the drill program now underway. Engineer Gold Mines Limited trades on the TSX Venture Exchange, symbol EAU. For more information, please visit us at engineergoldmines.com.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with John Rappaport. John, what's the difference between this particular coronavirus and the seasonal flu?
Well, I don't know that there is a significant difference. We're playing with numbers here, so let's play the number game. In the U.S., for example, the CDC, they changed their figures around, but it used to be 36,000. They would parrot that every year. Now they kind of go, I think, something like between 25 and 60,000 deaths, mind you, deaths, not cases, deaths, of regular, ordinary seasonal flu every single year. Okay? Now, I've taken those numbers apart and shown how they're complete fiction, but let's stick with that as the promotion. Does the CDC call that an epidemic? No. Do they trumpet it as something serious? No. Do they say the flu is contagious? Yes. It's a virus. Do they say we need to lock down half the country? No. They don't say anything except get your flu shot. And it's dangerous and severe. Every year, the same thing. So here we have the coronavirus. I don't know what the latest figures are. Few hundred deaths supposedly in the U.S. Again, it's just a numbers game. How many cases, how many deaths, whatever. But of course, it's nothing compared to what the CDC would say about seasonal ordinary flu. One is a pandemic. We got to lock down the entire country. The other happens every single year in gigantic figures, and we say nothing about that. So draw your own conclusions there. I mean, how can you trust an agency that gives you that flim-flam? I couldn't.
Coronaviruses are an umbrella of viruses, including the common cold. How does the coronavirus test isolate COVID-19 from all the others?
Scientifically, I don't think that there's any real difference. The difference is in the claims, which is usually the case. You know, they may have a story that they've cooked up as to why this is more dangerous than other coronaviruses. But what the public health agencies like the CDC and World Health Organization are relying on is the scenario that they play, which is it's spreading around the world. It's causing havoc in Italy. They've locked down the whole country. China locked down 100 million people. The effect proves the cause. We have to take immediate radical actions. Therefore, COVID-19 is far more dangerous than ordinary coronaviruses. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. It's not the science, it's the story.
We're hearing there's a malaria drug that might be able to fight coronavirus, also hearing of various natural remedies. What are you hearing?
I'm hearing all of these stories. Unfortunately, they all hinge on the idea that this is a highly dangerous virus. And then, having made that assumption, that they go on to offer treatments. In the case of the malaria drug, I'm about to publish an article which, let's see, this might come out Sunday night, Monday morning, on chloroquine, the malaria drug, which has received a lot of publicity and it's probably being used here and there on patients in what's called off-label use for corona. And I've listed from a conventional source all of the side effects of the drug, which take up about a page of fairly small print, unfortunately. We're talking about very serious effects that the drug can have. And I can also tell you, and I believe it's in the same article, the Department of Health and Human Services in the United States has just issued a sweeping regulation that absolves anyone in any way connected to the manufacture, distribution, prescription of, use of, as a provider, any drug used against coronavirus or any vaccine from liability of any kind. No lawsuits, no payouts, no nothing. Total protection, which would apply to any of the drugs now being touted as antiviral drugs or drugs that have been, let's say, approved for off-label use or even that doctors are saying they're going to use and there's no malicious intent there that can be proven. So that's what I would have to say. And antiviral drugs, by the way, people can look them up, the names of them, and they can look up their adverse effects and see what's waiting in the wings here. Not good. Not good. As far as the so-called natural treatments, again, they tend to rely on the idea that the virus is highly dangerous. I don't know what to say about these treatments. I've seen articles about them and so forth. My one, criticism would be that the people who promote them tend to promote them with the idea that they work across, not only well, but across the board. And my experience, and this is just my opinion personally, is that that does not work. If you say, I have this X herb here, called blah, 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 and this has proven to be incredibly successful in people that have Z condition XY2, my opinion is that it turns out that is not the case. It may help some people, yes, but others, no. So it's the promotion of it as the sort of panacea that I personally don't like.
This coronavirus is also being called the elite virus due to so many political leaders, celebrities, and religious figures testing positive. I guess we can think about the wife of Justin Trudeau and Tom Hanks and his wife getting the disease. There are rumors on the internet as to why this is happening. Are you hearing anything?
No, I think that's all just, I don't know, people that are looking for something in that quarter. I don't know what to make of that. I mean, yes, of course, it's promotion, in a way, you could say. Just the way you could say that a celebrity who is doing a TV ad for a drug is promoting the drug. So if somebody is saying, I have the disease, and I am following strict guidelines of social distancing and self-isolation, and I will get treatment if there is treatment, whatever, you could say, I guess, you know, yeah, that's promoting the whole idea of the epidemic and making it more famous than it even was before. But, you know, if I could talk to any of these people, anybody, I wouldn't give them any medical advice, but I would say, I have written about the diagnostic test. If you feel like reading what I have written, feel free, because these people are being diagnosed on the basis of a test, and it most likely is the PCR test. In China, by the way, which I failed to mention, at one point, I'm going to say maybe a month and a half, 2 months ago, the Chinese authorities said, we're no longer even thinking about doing diagnostic tests for the virus. We are now doing CT scans of the lungs. Wow. That's like saying in order to identify apples, we're going to be looking at oranges. Because CT scans of the lungs can show lung inflammation, infection, mucus, pneumonia, whatever. I mean, there's all kinds of names for lung problems, disease names. It says nothing about the cause. Says nothing about whether it's a virus. But on that basis, Chinese have been reporting all kinds of case numbers of the coronavirus. You know, I mean, nobody's pointing this out in the New York Times. You want to know why I called my site No More Fake News? This is the kind of thing that starts my blood boiling. Why don't you talk about the test? Have you ever thought about the test and which test is being run and what it shows or doesn't show? On which all supposedly these case estimates are being based. I mean, the bulk of the case numbers in the world are reported out of China, okay? So what tests are they running in China? They're running CT scans. Are you kidding me? And we're supposed to believe the results of CT scans as they pertain. pertain to a virus? I mean, it's insanity. It's sheer insanity.
Italy seems to be a hot spot for the coronavirus. Why are the numbers so high in Italy?
Well, Italy is a story I could talk about for a long time. I'll try to boil it down. First of all, the major press stories, let's take one of them. The ICU wards in Italy are overflowing. You get video, you get big stories in the press, etc., etc. Okay, think it through. Think it through. What are they talking about? Well, I read reports here and there. They're talking about an excess of maybe 3,000-4,000 people in Italy of 60 million that are overcrowding the ICU wards and hospitals. Okay. So let's look at who that might be. Well, they have a big aging population, for example, in Italy. You have people in the north of Italy. There's industrial pollution there. People have all kinds of lung problems and so on. And then they hear about the coronavirus suddenly being said, very dangerous, you might have it, who knows, we don't know, blah, blah, blah. Somebody develops congestion, mild or serious or whatever. You end up with a whole parade of people showing up at hospitals. Okay? Now, what happens at the hospitals? The doctors are overburdened. The clerks, the staff are completely overburdened. They have limited bed capacity in the ICU ward. They don't have the time or, in some cases, even the means to run a diagnostic test on these people that are showing up. And a lot of these people, again, are showing up out of fear. They have prior health conditions, serious, but suddenly they're thinking coronavirus. So what are the doctors going to do? They're going to say, well, presumptive case of coronavirus, suspected case of coronavirus for a lot of these people. Well, what does that mean? What are the implications of doing that? I'll tell you what they mean. You can't send those patients now into the general ward of the hospital because you, as the doctor, believe that this virus is highly dangerous and contagious. Where's the social distancing? Where's the isolation? No, you're going to have to send these people that you diagnosed as suspected or presumptive cases into the ICU. Well, naturally, you can't do that with everybody because you don't have enough beds. So the situation becomes overflowing, chaotic, fearful. Press is there shooting photographs and video and putting it out as scare stories for the public. Okay, so that's one thing happening in Italy. The second thing happening in Italy is you've got what I would call a schizophrenic split inside the government of Italy health agencies. On the one hand, you've got the agencies in charge of public health blaring out statistics and case numbers rising by the hour and, you know, frightening the public, and that's what people see on the media and so forth. But in a major institute of health inside the government, a completely different department, and I've written about this, I think the article is up on my site right now with the link. Bloomberg News is even reporting on this now. This other institute inside the government, highly responsible for medical detection and so forth, they're going through patient records of deaths from so-called coronavirus to see what they can find out about these people from the slow grinding work of looking at everything in their medical records. And so far, what they've found is that very, very few people, I mean, I don't have the percentages in front of me, but I'm going to say a handful, okay, literally, have died without having prior medical conditions, serious, or serious enough to have been treated, let's say, with toxic medical drugs. The median age of people that are called coronavirus deaths in Italy is 79.5, okay? That tells you something right there. These are people, on the whole, who have a whole history of medical problems, undoubtedly weakened immune systems. They're now given a frightening diagnosis of a deadly virus, coronavirus, They're put in isolation in the hospital, like away from friends and family, on ventilators, which is even more isolating, treated with powerful antiviral drugs that are toxic, that could have delivered the final blow to these patients. That's a whole different story than the public is learning about what's going on in Italy.
Does this coronavirus target and attack people with health issues more so than the normal seasonal flu?
Well, you see, I don't walk down that road. The virus itself has not been proved to be dangerous by the standards that I believe scientifically ought to have taken place. So it doesn't matter. The comparisons are invalid. But certainly treatment with drugs that carry toxic side effects have more dangerous implications for people who are older and already have medical conditions that are not healthy. That's for sure.
And John, I think it's one of your recent articles that I read that when they did autopsies, they could only say the COVID-19 killed two people. All the others had very serious other issues that likely would have killed them in a relatively short period of time anyway.
That was an earlier article, and the same institute that I mentioned put it out. And I printed an update since then to see, because they've examined more records now, to see what the new figures are, which I'm just trying to pull up here, because I can update that if I can get to my blog here. Let's see, science, yeah, here we go. So, the same institute is looking into, that talked about only two deaths could be linked to the virus at some point for sure that didn't have, you know, serious other medical conditions. All right, so now what they're saying is, and this is out of Bloomberg, 318, 99% of those who died from virus had other illness, Italy says. More than 99% coronavirus fatalities were people who suffered from previous medical conditions, according to a study by the country's National Health Authority. Okay, so let's see. Finding that just three victims, okay, or 0.8% of the total, had no previous pathology, meaning disease. More than 75% had high blood pressure, about 35% diabetes, and a third suffered from heart disease. Median age, average age of those who died in Italy is 79.5.
Probably doesn't help that Italy has one of the highest smoking rates in the world as well.
Yeah, and pollution and what have you. So, yeah, you know, I mean, these are the factors that, you know, people don't look at. In fact, somebody got back to me in an email saying, well, I have Italian friends. They never heard about this. Well, why would they? If the blaring media stories, just like they are here, are what they are in Italy, and they're hearing case numbers and people dying and ICU wards overflowing, why would they hear about this? It doesn't mean it's not true. It's just they haven't heard about it. Well, 99% perhaps of America hasn't heard about any of this. So why would they? No more fake news.
John, they're not news junkies like you and I are. Do you personally know of anyone with the coronavirus?
No, I don't.
Emergency room doctors in the Vancouver area are posting on Facebook about how bad things are getting with COVID-19. They're telling people to stay home and self-isolate. What's likely going on here?
Well, you'd have to actually investigate to see. The doctors are saying this could be the same situation as in Italy. Yeah, it's overflowing because people are coming to the hospital because they're afraid that the cough they have might be coronavirus. I'll tell you a story about Orange County. I'm not going to try to, well, could I pull it up? Maybe, I don't know. But here's the deal, basically. In Southern California, there's an increase of telephone calls coming into 911 to the police from people who say that they hear their neighbors coughing. Right? Now, there are response teams. I don't know in how many cases, but in at least a few, some medical teams will go out. The guy who's coughing ends up in the hospital. You know, okay, so he is now a person who is listed, you know, who is now contributing to the overflow of patients at the hospital. Now, this is going to go on. Believe me, it's just going to escalate. People are going to show up at hospitals. I'm having some shortness of breath. I have lung problems. I've got something. It might be the flu. I don't know what it is. They're going to come on foot. They're going to come on wheelchair. They're going to come in cars. They're going to come in ambulances. And it's going to burden the system. Doesn't mean the virus is dangerous. It's a phenomenon that naturally will occur when the authorities are telling everybody that we have a global pandemic and it's a horrible situation.
What would you say to people glued to the mainstream media and freaking out over this virus?
Well, freaking out really doesn't help, does it? I mean, I don't know anybody in my life who ever freaked out about anything that ended up doing something productive. Freak out means that you're not in control of your, you know, your mind and your senses really at the moment. So what are you going to do based on that? That's not a good prescription, I would say, for taking effective action, whatever it might be. How much news do you have to watch? Once a day? No, that's not enough. Twice? No. Five times? No. 10? No, I prefer all day, just leaving it on. Wow, really? So the freak out is not a great thing as far as I'm concerned.
Mainstream media and the government have been lying to us for a long time. Why should we believe them on the coronavirus file?
yeah, that's my ballpark right there. I mean, I've documented over the years so many instances of lying from public health agencies and government, big government, intrusive government, that just on that basis alone, I would be highly suspect that the story being sold right now should be bought by anybody, you know, much less everything I've been talking about for the past hour here. Again, I won't say I'm baffled or shocked, but still it comes as, I don't really know what to call it, that people will just buy into whatever they're being told and believe that it has to be true. I've never favored that as a strategy.
Does it make sense to lock down cities and countries over the virus?
No, I don't think it does at all. As far as the economic lockdown of the planet, this is absolutely astounding to me, that people are falling in line, that this is absolutely necessary, without, I guess, most people actually thinking through what the domino effects here are. It's just unbelievable. That really is mind-boggling to me as to what's being done to shred the economy here in America and in other countries. I mean, not just America by any stretch of the imagination. What actual effects are now in progress on people of all sorts and relying on the bailouts of the federal government in order to make up the difference. It's just astonishing to me. Words like liberty, freedom, the individual versus the state. I mean, is this all just goes by the board completely? Because somebody says that in order to protect ourselves from, you know, this plague or whatever, that everything has to be locked down? It's just astounding to me.
Government leaders around the world and at all levels seem to be connected, continually ruling against their citizens. How are they connected, or are they really? It's hard to say, is it?
In this situation, you mean?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're connected through the public health agencies, for one thing. World Health Organization is major. There is an infrastructure here. It's national and international. What I mean by that is, I mean, it's huge. I've looked at certain charts and so forth. And, you know, I defy anyone to be able to memorize the structure. It's just so complex and interwoven. So that communication at many levels is possible. People understand their functions. You could say, in a sense, that prior so-called epidemics have been test cases to work out the structure. How fast can we communicate with these various countries and get political leaders in line to do what we want them to do, to make the announcements we want them to do, et cetera, et cetera. As far as I'm concerned, Tony Fauci is now the president of the United States. Okay, and that's not just an offhand remark. Because now he and his cohorts at the CDC can say, 2 months, lockdown in 2 months and we'll have it. Okay, we can, you know, open up the country again. No, 4 months. No, 6 months. No, it's going to be 12 or 18 months. And whatever he says, it's going to go. I mean, that's astonishing. We're going to destroy the economy for 2 months. No, 6. And in other countries, these leaders are indeed hooked in. People have to remember the World Health Organization is a branch of the UN. And so this is not just some powder puff little organization. They have been sinking their teeth in many ways for many years. And there have been various exercises and scenarios being planned out at public health levels internationally as to what to do in a pandemic situation. Which departments swing into action? What do they do? How do we communicate with other countries? It's all laid out. It would be a fantastic organization, you might say, if it had a different purpose. But in this case, we see what the purpose turns out to be.
What has to be done to make a non-pandemic believable as a pandemic?
I'll have to close with this one because I don't think I have any more time here. But that's a very good question. And I would say that, again, the key moment was the Chinese lockdown. And I wrote about it at the time. I said, China has just broken the ice, so to speak. It now becomes the model. Other nations can follow suit. Because people believe that the effect proves the cause. If China, which locked down all these people, that's the effect, then the cause must be horrendous, meaning the virus. That sells the pandemic, which, of course, is completely illogical. Aristotle figured this out 2,300 years ago. The effect does not prove the cause. But people believe it. So the more horrendous action you take, in other words, you keep selling the pandemic. And I think that there was a little bit of reluctance at first, perhaps, once the Chinese locked down 50 million people overnight. But at the same time, the heads of some of these public health agencies looked and said, this is it. We want to do this, we can do this, we can make this work, meaning pandemic, lockdown, economic devastation. The Chinese just did it. Therefore, if another country does it, people will be ready for it, and they'll say, well, we understand it. It makes sense. Whereas if the Chinese had never done it, it doesn't become that big a story. It becomes like another swine flu, another SARS, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. To me, people have to understand that can think it through. That was the moment. And if historians have any sense whatsoever when they record this, they will see that. This was the immediate turning point. So when Italy locked down gradually over a period of maybe a week, 2 weeks, at first it was the north and then it became the whole country, people said, well, that's a shocker. It happened in Europe, but, you know, well, it happened in China. Whereas if Italy had suddenly out of nowhere done it, I think people would have just said they're insane. So to me, that's how you make it work if you're a pandemic control freak.
John, thank you so much for being on the Goddard Report.
and thank you.
My guest has been John Rappaport, a well-known investigative reporter and the founder of NoMoreFakeNews.com. If you have any questions for our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at Talk Digital Net. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on the Goddard Report and TalkDigitalNetwork.com are an expression of opinion only. The Goddard Report is available online and mobile at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. The Goddard Report is a production of How Street Media Incorporated.